From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series in the Lord's Prayer with the next portion of a message entitled, The Essence and End of All True Prayer. Before Dr. Cairns comes, we'd like to introduce the Senior Minister of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, the Reverend Armand Tomassian. In the course of this year's programs, we'll be presenting brief sermon clips from Pastor Tomassian's messages at the church to acquaint you with his ministry. Now here is Reverend Tomassian with a word from the Lord.
I mean, if the incarnation shows us nothing else, it shows us that with God all things are possible. That whatever we're facing, whatever we're burdened with, God is able to do beyond what we can even ask or think. Now, let us get into a place where if we really believe this, then what would that allow us to think God may do in our day? I think of the words of Chalmers, Thomas Chalmers, how he said, whatever your vision, it's too small. However great your vision, it's too small. Chalmers was a man of vision, and what he accomplished is quite hard to believe, that one man could be so instrumental and driving forward the kingdom of God to the extent that he did. And then you ask the question, well, what kind of a man was he? What did he believe? Well, he believed things like this. However great your vision, it's too small. Well, Chalmers, what's the foundation for such a statement? Seems ludicrous. No, it's not. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. I'm not going to limit God. I'm not going to begin to say that he can only do this and go no farther. I want to believe him for things that are great. Because of Christ's kingdom, there shall be no end. Why should I therefore put a limit to it? If the Lord Jesus Christ is spreading his name through the nations, if it's his heart to gather in the lost, if he wants all glory to be brought to his name, why should I put limits on it? We need to get in our hearts the fact that the God that we claim to believe and bow before when we pray has put it in his word. Not merely through implications by saying, well, look, he's able to do anything because he made the worlds. We might draw this text by implication from things like that. But in case we would miss it, it's right there in black and white. With God, nothing shall be impossible.
In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, we read, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land." In these days when the forces of evil are devastating our land, God's people need to pray. More than that, we must engage in united prayer. Just as the apostles and the early church were of one accord gathering for prayer, the cry for our day must be, "Let us pray." To encourage the Lord's people to this end, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a new publication entitled, The Case for United Prayer. Presented within its pages are excerpts from the works of Jonathan Edwards, Samuel Prime, and Pastor Richard Cross. The centerpiece of the book is Samuel Prime's first-hand account of the famous New York City prayer meetings of 1857, begun by one man, Jeremiah Lanphier. This simple effort was blessed by God until prayer meetings sprang up all over the nation and ushered in a mighty revival that spread across the sea to Great Britain, culminating in the great 1859 revival in Northern Ireland. To obtain your copy of The Case for United Prayer free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Case for United Prayer, and we'll be happy to provide it. As he nears the conclusion of this series on the Lord's Prayer, Dr. Cairns is preaching a message entitled, The Essence and End of All True Prayer. Here, we are called to think upon the greatness of God as we pray. In approaching this aspect of prayer, Dr. Cairns has emphasized that praise to God has always been the hallmark in the prayers of every great prayer warrior. Often, believers come to God with a sense of desperation, as if there were no hope for their situation. Yet, True prayer recognizes the power and faithfulness of God and is characterized by devotion rather than by desperation. Now, here is Dr. Cairns to continue this message, the essence and end of all true prayer.
Think of what a difference it would be in your closet if instead of simply going in to spend X amount of time and going through various rituals and salving your conscience that, yes, I have prayed today. Instead of that, you were to stay in that closet with the Word of God open before you and with your heart lifted up to God until you felt in your own soul something of the reality of this great doxology. If you didn't leave the place of prayer until you could honestly pour out this praise, "Thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory forever. Amen." I tell you, all our praying, both in our approach to God and in our asking from God, must lead to this conclusion. So today, I want us to think of the doxology as the essence and the end of all true prayer. I want us to see that it teaches us why we pray. It shows what motivates and energizes us in our praying. It discovers to us the true ground of our confidence in prayer. And it reveals the ultimate objective of all our praying. The doxology is the essence and the end of all true prayer. The end not only in the sense of the conclusion, but in the sense of its design or purpose. So let's think of it briefly and simply together. In this doxology, we learn that true prayer is not desperation, but devotion. True prayer is not desperation, it's devotion. Now, when we come before God, we may be in very desperate circumstances and pray about them. The Lord's Prayer itself addresses circumstances of great need. I have pointed out in our studies already that these very simple sounding petitions actually cover the whole realm of human experience. Here the Lord Jesus deals with physical needs. He deals with material needs. He deals with spiritual needs. He deals with the need of forgiveness. He deals with the need and the various, let me say, dilemmas that arise out of our relationships, especially with those who have wronged us. He deals with the subject of temptation, and he raises the whole matter of what it is to live in victory over circumstances, over sin, and over Satan. Now, when you stop to think of all those things compressed within these few words of the Lord's Prayer, you'll see the Lord Jesus is truly telling us when we pray, we are dealing with great needs. And often as we try to face those needs, we feel desperate. But the doxology teaches us that prayer must ascend out of the pit of desperation, and it must mount to the pinnacle of devotion. By definition, desperation is hopelessness. The word desperation, just look at it. It's desperation. The speration part of it is simply an anglicized form of the Latin verb spero. Spero means I hope. Desperation is a state of being, if I could coin a word, de-hoped. Desperation is a state of being denuded of all hope. But when we come to pray, prayer is an exercise in faith. Prayer is an expression of hope. And remember what hope means in Scripture. It is really the very idea in the word sparrow. It means to expect. It means to look for. It means confidently to wait for. Hope in Scripture, it is not some vague thing. It is something very real and very concrete, because it is based entirely upon what we know of our God. So when we come to pray, however bleak our circumstances, however much we have been driven to desperation as we contemplate the circumstances and contemplate ourselves, when we pray and we start to contemplate our God, our praying must arise out of the pit of circumstances and look on the brightness of the glory and the greatness of our God. And when we see how great our God is, we will always have reason to pray, and we will always have reason to rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Remember when Paul penned those words about rejoicing in hope of the glory of God in Romans chapter 5. He went on immediately to deal with trials and tribulations, things that would try the patience, things that would weigh down upon the heart. This is not some utopian dream. This is the reality of what is available to the saints of God in a world that is drowning in its own tears. This is the reality of a living faith in a living Christ, through whom we have a living relationship with the living God. When we see our God, we'll always have reason to pray and to rejoice in hope. Back in the book of Ezra, chapter 10 and verse 2, we read how the children of Israel confessed, "We have trespassed against our God." How often that is the reason for the feeling of desperation. It's the felt guilt of personal failure. "We have trespassed against our God. Yet now there is hope in Israel concerning this thing." Oh, they had felt their trespass. But under the ministry of Ezra, they had been made to consider their God. Seeing their trespass would lead to desperation and hopelessness. But once they got their eyes fixed upon their God, then there was the dawning light. There is hope in Israel concerning even this evil into which we have fallen. How often we have needed to turn to the Psalms 42 and 43, time without number over the years, I have come to those Psalms. And out of deep personal need, I've had to enter into the psalmist's experience. Verse 5 and verse 11 of Psalm 42, and then verse 5 of chapter of Psalm 43, they form a trilogy, really. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me?" Now let's stop. There's a question. The answer will be different from person to person, from situation to situation. Why art thou cast down? Is it because of the felt guilt of your personal failure? Is it because of personal suffering? Is it because of family disappointment? Is it because of financial weakness or want? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted? Why are you upset? Why are you in turmoil? Why are you so worried? Why are you desperate? Now, whatever the answer to the question, here is the solution to the problem. Hope thou in God. That's the solution. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. The countenance or the face of God is a scripture way of speaking or of poetically describing our enjoyment of the unhindered favor and blessing of God, the shining into the darkness of our life, of the light of what God is, who God is, what God has done, and what God has promised. The countenance of God shining upon us, assuring us of who He is and what He's done, that is what brings us help. I want you to understand that. What brings a Christian help is the understanding that God is for him. Whatever the circumstances of life may seem to say to the contrary, God is for him. That's the help that we feel. Notice the result in verse 11. Of Psalm 42, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. In verse 5, the psalmist's face is long, his features bear the marks of discouragement, and he's looking up in faith, and he's saying, my help is in the glory of God shining upon me. Now, as he contemplates his deep sorrow and his trouble and his discouragement, the glory of God shining upon him has changed the discouraged features, and he says, he's the health of my countenance, so that his own face is now beginning to shine in the reflection of what he sees in his God. When you come to chapter 43 of the Psalms in verse 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. In other words, this is not just a momentary relief. This is not just something that lasts as long as your first little time in the closet. This is something that God will continue to make real in your life. There's another way of putting that, of course. You get this victory today, but you're going to need to discover it afresh tomorrow. Whatever disquiets and discomforts you today can be dealt with as you catch a glimpse of the greatness of your God. Tomorrow, you need to see that greatness afresh.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.